Real estate investors and the infinite banking concept go together like chocolate and peanut butter. Each is good on its own, but when you combine them, magic happens. Welcome to the Life Insurance Financial Education Podcast, where we're pulling back the curtain on high cash value life insurance and how it can help you build wealth and achieve your financial goals. I'm your host, James Barber, your Oregon Cash Flow Pro.
My name is Jing with Tech Exam Millionaire Club.
And my name is Carlo Vaquero with NetWealth Finance.
And this week, we're talking real estate investors and the infinite banking concept. The infinite banking concept seems to be very attractive to real estate investors for some reason. Why do you guys suppose that is?
Well, I can start with the history of how I discovered IBC. I know IBC a little bit before real estate investing. I think at a later stage, I put them together. I try to just do the real estate investing out of my own capital. But later on, the more I dig into the concept of IBC, all the benefit, I think it's like what Jane mentioned. It's the chocolate and peanut butter. And if you know the core and how you practice it, it can make this infinite banking machine produce infinite wealth based on real estate, based on the life insurance policy. I'll let Carlo share some of his experience.
I have a number of videos on using this concept with the Burr strategy of real estate investment. So buy, renovate, rent out, refi, repeat. That's what the Burr strategy is. And so that repeat is what causes the ability to infinitely reuse wealth. By having that process and being able to cycle through money quickly using life insurance, it can be a really effective tool for that purpose. And what you might be replacing in the process of doing the Burr strategy is something like hard money lending, where you are off the top paying a couple of points to the lender. That cost gets eliminated when you're borrowing against your life insurance policy. So that's just one quick reason why, you know, oftentimes that hard money lender or DSCR lenders, debt service covered ratio lenders, they're going to charge around that 2%, 2 points for just closing the deal. And then you have your holding costs in between there. So if you can just eliminate that initial 2%, that's just a really strong argument. And even if you're not doing that for all of your deals, it can be really powerful by using life insurance for some of your deals.
So at its base level, I think real estate operates very similarly to how our infinite bank operates. We're growing our wealth, we're growing our equity, and we have access to that equity. We think about a house. We buy a house, we may have a mortgage, we may not have a mortgage, but we have equity in that house, and we tap into that equity in order to go make other deals. And when you tap into that equity, it doesn't affect the value of the house. You're going to get a home equity line of credit, ideally, so that you can get the money out of it, you can access it, and then you can put it back after you make your deals, and it's available again. And the same thing works with the infinite banking concept. We're going to put our money into a life insurance policy. It's available equity that we are guaranteed access to much easier than a home equity line of credit. Most of the time, cheaper than a line of credit. And we can take the money out, use that for deals, put it right back in. And while that money is gone, it doesn't really affect the growth and the compounding of the policy. So in my mind, it works very similar to how real estate operates. And so it's an easy concept for a real estate investor to grasp the value of it. Essentially, if you buy a high cash value whole life policy, it's like buying a house that you know is going to go up in value every single year, like clockwork, 4%, except you don't have to pay for maintenance, you don't have to pay for taxes, and you don't have to deal with tenants.
Exactly. One sample I want to illustrate is what I have been doing. I purchased a commercial property. I think the very beginning, the accumulation phase, we talk about that. When we are building the IBC policy, it takes a little bit of time for the cash value to build up. But I put the I put the premium into the policy and I started pulling out as a loan. I understand why in the early stage, I want to use the money, the capital inside of the cash value life insurance policy. Because just say I have the 5% interest loan I have to pay to the life insurance policy. In the meantime, I will have the dividend or interest from the carrier. So I hope I have the spread. But the money in my real estate, I expect to create 15 to 20% of the return of the money. So at the end of the day, I should expect somewhere 10 to 15% of the money growing inside of the policy year over year without the tax impact. If you think about that in a long way, it's a machine we are building. Remember, once we have the cash flow from the real estate investing, we can put it back to pay the interest, to pay the premium, let the cash value grow over time. That's what I have been doing. And that's what my plan to really grow this policy or grow multiple cash value policy over time using real estate.
And I certainly intend to expand into that as well. I've backed out of a lot of my real estate over the past few years, but maybe times are actually going to be entering a phase where I might re-enter the real estate market as things on my boat business have stabilized or are stabilizing. I am hoping to get back into doing things. And personally, I think I want to execute on some BRRRR deals, as I mentioned earlier. And if you do a lot of these BRRRR deals over time, seeking small cash flow over the long-term mortgages. So part of that process I'd mentioned, so you might purchase the real estate with your life insurance policy for that initial purchase. Then you do your renovation, you rent it out, and then that refi is a cash out refinance. So you use that cash out refinance, leaving anywhere between 20 to 30% of equity in that deal. That's what a bank is going to give you a loan for 70 or so, 80% of the property value. When you get that cash out refinance, you use that to either pay off the loan to your life insurance company if you don't have another deal lined up, or you run that right into your next deal if you have another deal lined up. So that's where these strategies combine. When you combine a strategy like that with life insurance, you always want to be parking your extra cash into something that's giving you a yield, either offsetting the interest from your life insurance loans, or maybe in leaving it in the equity in the deal until you're ready to execute. But ideally, getting the cash out refi with a long-term mortgage to then pay off the life insurance loan is what you want to do.
So real estate investors should always have cash on the sidelines. You have to have a place where you're storing your wealth. All of your wealth is not always tied up in real estate or in whatever investments that you're doing. And the older we get and the more successful we get, the more money that we should have on the sidelines, that's just kind of set aside for things. Where are you storing your wealth? The infinite banking concept says store that wealth inside of a cash growing, guaranteed to grow asset like high cash value life insurance that's still liquid, it's still accessible. And ideally, when you go to purchase a place, whether you're buying the entire place or you're getting a mortgage, the money that you pull out of your life insurance is considered seasoned funds. I don't know of any lenders that don't consider it seasoned funds. There might be some, so double check and make sure that your lender considers it seasoned funds. But in general, you can leave that money in somewhere where it's growing 4 to 5.5% internal rate of return constantly when you're not using it. And you leave it in there up until a couple of days before you close. You pull the money out, you deal with closing. When the real estate deal pays off, either you sell it or it's paying rents, bringing in monthly income, you can pay those loans back and it's ready to deploy again. This thing works really good when it comes to having quick access to that money to do everything that you're trying to do. And when you're in between deals, you got a great place to store that cash. Especially and Carlo knows this personally, when you sell your real estate and you end up with a windfall, that's often the most challenging time because you might be sitting on hundreds of thousands of dollars. And if that's just sitting in your checking account, you're going to probably feel pretty anxious about getting that money back to work. But when you can dump that into your life insurance policy and you know it's doing something, it kind of takes the pressure off.
Yeah, I want to add something about access to capital, right? I want to have some illustration. Just say I have the down payment. I just need to either tap into my IBC policy to get the extra 75% versus I go to a bank to get that 75% as an investment mortgage. For if the money is in my IBC, I have all kinds of flexibility and I know my interest rate will be 5-6%, depends on which carrier I'm using. But if I go to a bank, they will probably ask, they asked me 3 years of return, all the PML of the properties, all the personal statement, all the W-2s, or any financial supporting. And then there will be underwriting period, and then you're waiting for the approval. And then you wait for the loan, the money to actually hit your account. So we're talking about at least 30 to 45 days versus if I tap into my own IBC policy, it's probably 1 week and I don't support anything. That's my own policy. And then the speed, especially when it comes to real estate, we all know deal comes and goes. If you are so slow, if you cannot approve to the buyer, you are serious, you can get it down, they will probably choose another person instead of they make the deal with you. That's superior importance in this real estate investing because real estate, it's ever changing. The more you can show people your credibility, you can make this happen, the more chance you will actually get a good deal and then have that asset as one of your assets.
So depending on how quickly you're turning over that real estate, it can make a big difference if you're tapping into your own policy for the entire loan. You could save tens of thousands of dollars on mortgage fees.
Exactly. Especially when we get to the higher end, millions of dollars.
And that's another thing that I want to highlight in what Jane said is that time to access those funds is a big one too. I have had as little as 2 days from loan request to one of my life insurance policies to funds clearing in my account. Now, Jing mentioned 7 days, about a week. That's probably about standard is what you'd be dealing with, or that's kind of where I reasonably expect to get those funds. So it is very quick access to funds. And earlier, James was talking about where you're storing capital. So whenever you're doing deal analysis, some of my videos talk about these things. You want to factor in some amount of CapEx, capital expenditures, so 5 or 10% that you might put away of your gross going into CapEx, maintenance, somewhere around 5 or 10%, and then vacancy, somewhere around 5 or 10%, depending on what you're doing. These are all things that should be stored somewhere. When you have, those are just a couple of examples. There's other expenses that are involved when you're doing deal analysis, but those are a lot of the ones that people don't think about when they're just getting started in real estate investment. So I just wanted to call those out. And you got to store those somewhere. So life insurance is a fantastic place. As you're getting those rent yields, using those, if you have the space to put extra premium into your life insurance policy, that is a good place to store that extra capital or what is your CapEx account, your maintenance account, your vacancy account. It is a really good place to store that capital.
I really like the life insurance policy as a place to store those things. Capital expense, emergency funds. Basically, these are things that you're not necessarily going to be tapping into every single day or even every single month. If you're saving that capital expense account for a new roof, you might be 20 years in between a new roof. Well, if you had that money set aside in your life insurance and then the new roof expense comes up, you pay that expense, you buy the roof. Now you have to reload for the roof the next time in 30 years or 20 years or however many years it takes for that roof to need to be replaced. And instead of just slowly putting that money into a checking or savings account or a CapEx account, you would just pay back that loan. And it's available to borrow again the next time you're ready for that roof. And in the meantime, in the background, that cash value just keeps growing and compounding.
I want to add another thing. I sometimes call this you double tapping of your capital. So the first one is, just say I put $100K into my IBC policy. It's a policy I bought. I have the life insurance. And then I take whatever the loan I need. And then this amount of money, if I put into real estate, it generates cash flow. I have all the tax appreciation and the tax deduction and the real estate appreciation. So basically, you're tapping the same money twice. The first is a life insurance policy, right? We're building it up. The second time is using almost the same money, but the same money will create the cash flow. You will have real estate. So instead of just using money once, now we have the chance to use it two times with all the tax benefits.
And in addition to that, if something happens to you, if you happen to get in an accident, you die early, a death benefit pays out and it could pay off the mortgages. Could put your beneficiaries in a good situation that might otherwise be troublesome if something happened to you and suddenly you have this real estate project, let's say, that's incomplete, that somebody else has to deal with. Well, at least they have a death benefit above and beyond whatever cash value you've put into it. They have that death benefit to help clean things up.
And that's a really important benefit of this. If you compare the storing your CapEx, let's just say, in a high yield savings account, that's not going to get you what that death benefit would be. So it is a real benefit of using life insurance for this purpose, to sort of also follow up in terms of that infinite banking concept and what I'd mentioned earlier. When you can do some of the videos that I've done on my channel are walking through recycling this money, because when you do these cash out refis, put it back in your life insurance, use that to buy another property, and you recycle this money over and over, that's exactly what the infinite banking concept is. So the strategy, a strategy like the Burr strategy of real estate investment, it really is what the infinite banking concept was targeting, you know, or various types of entrepreneurship. So business, real estate is a business, and that's what this concept is about. And reusing capital over and over again, infinitely, is kind of how that term came to be. So that is a real benefit of what you can do with this concept. And life insurance happens to be, in my mind, the best tool for this concept.
I want to add another simple information about using IBC as a real estate investor. Once I get the loan out of my policy, I'm not reporting to anybody anything what I'm doing. I could use that for a roof project. I can use it to purchase more mobile homes. I could use it for my personal purpose. So there's no reporting requirement. And because of that, it's simple, it's clean, and then you don't need to deal with any of the detail and tedious documentation, which you have to show IRS what you did. And compared to a self-directed IRA, sometimes there's prohibited transaction. If you didn't do it right, they could take away that tax advantage. To use the loan from your IBC policy, that does not exist. So something which I think it worth mentioning.
I would add one thing. If you do want to be able to write off the interest you might be paying the life insurance company, then you probably do want to have some kind of documentation about loaning your real estate investment business the funds to do the deals, so that you can record the interest and deduct it if you are looking to do that. And that is probably especially important if you're doing big deal sizes. If you're doing smaller deals, short holding times where you don't have a ton of interest to write off, maybe it's not worth your time. And as Jinx said, you don't have to do it. But if you're doing big enough deals where you are paying enough interest to the life insurance company, it can make sense for you to do some documentation on that in order to be able to write some of that off.
Yeah, in general, your life insurance is a personal policy. It's not a business policy. So when you borrow from it to go do business things, you're going to borrow from the life insurance company, and then you're going to loan your business money. That's the loan documentation Carlo's talking about. Your accountant will appreciate that. If you're asking them to deduct loan interest, the loan interest is getting paid to you. Now, you personally are just giving that back to the insurance company. So you don't have a gain to claim as far as taxable to you personally as income, but your business gets to deduct the interest that it paid for the loan.
I did that for some of the loans that I have going to my boat business. My accountant, it is reported as income on my end, but then I am deducting the expense. There, I'm not an expert on this. You know, consult with your accountant on all of that. So in the end, it's pretty much or pretty close to just a wash in that, but it is a cost that is reported on my business that can reduce some of the income as well. So it is something that you keep in mind, especially as you get to a bigger real estate portfolio or business. It can make sense to have some documentation for that purpose.
And with that, you guys have a call to action for our listeners this week.
It's time for this week's call to action.
Well, if you're a real estate investor, I really encourage you to deep dive into IBC and see all the benefit and then really understand that yourself, right? Because at the end of the day, all the insurance agents like us, we can help you set up the policy, optimize it. But if you want to use it as an infinite banking policy, as be your own bank, it's you to take the money, request the money, request the loan from the carrier, put into your real estate, and then make it work, and then pay back the loan, put back the cash flow of your real estate. So you're the one doing all the work. So the more you understand the structure, the more you understand how this whole system can work for your benefit, the better. And then the cash flow can grow faster. Your policy can also grow faster. Once your cash value inside your IBC policy can be a sizable account, just say half a quarter million, 500K, that in that case, you can really do some great deal. And then remember, we mentioned about the timing, the efficiency, that really you can best utilize this policy. You can see a significant difference versus you just try to save up, try to go to a bank and then get a loan, wait for approval, and then get that real estate. So I just encourage every real estate investor to know this concept, deep dive it, and then maybe start practicing it when you have your first policy and then grow from there.
I would say if you go to my YouTube channel at NetWealth Finance, there are multiple videos talking about the BRRRR strategy. So that's B-R-R-R-R-R, so four R's in the BRRRR strategy of real estate investment. Check out some of those videos. I walk through becoming a millionaire in a few years using that as a strategy. And there's a lot of numbers and data, and I walk through some spreadsheets to demonstrate that concept. So good content to check out to learn about how you can use life insurance combined with that strategy.
That sounds like a great way for them to continue the education beyond the things that we've talked about here and get that deeper dive that Jing was suggesting. All three of us have experience in real estate investing. You could certainly reach out, talk to any one of us about your specific situation. We're here to help. So a good call to action. If you're a real estate investor and you're wondering if this might be the thing for you, reach out to one of us. We're certainly happy to talk to you and deal with the specifics of your situation beyond just broad concepts. Be sure to join us next week for How Loan Interest Works with Cash Value Life Insurance. With that, I'm your host, James Barber, your Oregon Cash Flow Pro. I'm licensed for life insurance and annuities across the country.
My name's Jing. I'm your host at Tax Examiner Club, a school community. We teach people how to become tax exam multimillionaires using different tax strategies. I am licensed in multiple states as well. I'm ready to have a conversation when you are ready.
And my name is Carlo Becerra. You can find me at netwealthfinance.com or on YouTube at netwealthfinance. And we'll work with clients across the country for life insurance as well.
Thanks. We'll see you next time.
Join us back next time.
Thanks for tuning in.